As I said before, chapter 4, verse 1 is a very key verse in this book. We saw through chapters 1 through 3, God's amazing grace to us. He's poured out his grace. He's elected us. He's saved us when we were dead in sin. He's washed us, cleansed us, forgiven us. Our sins have been nailed to the cross of Jesus. We have been made even God's own beloved children. And the power of God is at work in us. We are only able to walk in the light, to walk in a way worthy of our calling, because the Spirit is at work within us. And we are called now to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And as Ross said before, it's very important that the first two verses of chapter 5 summarize this whole chapter. We are called to be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, Paul has just said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And therefore, we are to be imitating God in the way he loves us, in the way he forgives us. And then Paul has said, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so throughout this book, Paul charges us time and time again to walk in light of whose we are. We now belong to God in Christ. Throughout this book, we read repeated charges. Paul said back in Ephesians 2, verse 10, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And there in Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, he says, you know, as I said before, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Ephesians 4, 17, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. And then again in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, you are now light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And finally in verse 15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, don't forget that the word walk, as Paul uses it, it implies the way we live. And he uses the word walk because it's a very important verb. It's walk around in, literally in the Greek. And it means to use our will to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we seek to obey him minute by minute, moment by moment in our lives. God is at work within us. And when the people around us see God at work in us, see us cooperating with the Holy Spirit, see us walking in light, we become a very, very powerful witness to God's grace. And so point one today as we unpack this is know and obey God's will. Looking at verses 3 through 14, we are called to know and obey God's will as children of light. Well, note, Paul has just told us, he has summarized beautifully how we are to walk. And then in verses 3 through 5, he gives us a negative example of how we used to walk, how we are no longer to walk. We are no longer to walk in these ways. These are the ways of the world. These are the ways, the behaviors in which we used to walk and we have been saved out of and must no longer walk in them. He says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you can be sure of this, that anyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. This is the way we used to walk. And you see, we've been called to walk in a way characterized by a self-giving love. Verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Love means loving others with the kind of love God has poured out upon us. It means loving others, putting them first. The sins given in verses 3 and 4 are the exact opposite of love. You do not love anyone if you abuse them, if you take them, treat them as an object. That is the exact opposite of love. That is to hate them. Sexual immorality, porneia in the Greek, is any kind of sexual sin. And it's always involved using another person, abusing them, whether in your mind or whether in deed, and not loving them. It is the opposite of love. And impurity is the same thing. It is a selfish walking in sin. And the same with coveting. Coveting is wanting what others have. It can be sexual coveting, but it can be coveting of physical things as well. And we live in an age and time when these sins are not only rife, they're promoted. They're promoted. I read that post-World War II, the great advertising industry in America realized that if everyone bought what they needed, they wouldn't sell enough products. And so very soon after World War II, the entire advertising industry shifted. They stopped promoting cars for what they did. They started trying to sell images and lifestyle. They would have beautiful women, people who are young and beautiful and having a great time. And always they were trying to foster in the viewers a spirit of covetousness, of dissatisfaction. The idea being that you can have the good life if you just have this cologne or this car or this shirt. They're always trying to promote covetousness and dissatisfaction. And it's important for us to know that. The moment you turn on your smartphone, whether you're looking at email or the news feed or social media, you are being promoted sin. Sin is targeting you. They're trying to make you feel dissatisfied in who you are and in what you have. And this is the opposite of walking in a self-giving love that glorifies God. And Paul says the kinds of sin that the world loves to indulge in must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Remember, the word saints is just hagios. It literally means holy ones, those set apart, set aside, and dedicated to God. Note too, the world not only promotes sexual sin, it tries to legitimize it. For example, movies that are explicit are now called for mature audiences. Strip clubs are called gentlemen's clubs. Things like sexual immorality are called non-monogamy or open marriages. The world is always trying to legitimize sin to lower the bar on what is acceptable. But sin is sin. And God defines sin, not man. And sin always destroys. It always breaks down. It always causes harm. God gives us the law. He shows us how to walk, both to glorify him and for the good of us and our souls. God has shown us how to enjoy sexuality within a loving, monogamous marriage between man and woman. That is how this is to be enjoyed. Anything outside of that is to tear down and destroy and bring broken relationships. God's way is the only way that we were made to live. When we choose to walk in sin, we bring great harm to ourselves, great defilement and degradation. And same with coveting. Be very wary of the fact that everything on the menu is trying to make you dissatisfied. We are called to be content with whatever we have, because our greatest desire, the greatest desire of our hearts, should always be God. Coveting is to desire something more than God. It is to not trust God to give us today our daily needs. Jesus himself said, watch out and be on guard against all covetousness in Luke 12, verse 15. And covetousness, Paul says here, is idolatry. And don't miss the warning of verse 5. It says, anyone who walks in this way, who walks in sexual immorality, impurity, in covetousness, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, note, he doesn't say, anyone who falls into this sin. Yes, Christians sin, and we should keep a short account of our sins. We should repent. This is why we are called to live life together as Christian community. We've been called out of the world into the church of Jesus. The church is there to restore those who have sinned, those who have fallen, but a Christian cannot and must not walk in these ways, as in staying in these kinds of sins, because they are characteristic of the world, not those who have been saved through grace in Jesus. Note too that the opposite, the antidote to covetousness, to foolish talk, to filthiness, is thanksgiving, verse 4. We are called to walk in thanksgiving. The greatest antidote, the greatest preventative against coveting is remembering all that God has given us. We've been called to put off the old man, to put on the new man, to put on ways that are of love and thanksgiving, walking in prayer to God. This is how we are called to walk. Paul says in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Be wary of those sins that they war against your soul. We fight three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we are called to flee sins, knowing that anyone who walks in these ways has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Look at verse 6. Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, Paul here is saying, be wary of those who deceive you with empty words. He's likely referring there to false teachers who try to say that sin doesn't really matter. In this time of the Ephesian church, there were false teachers who were teaching a kind of antinomianism or anti-law. And they were saying that when you have been saved through faith, the way you walk now doesn't matter because your sins are covered. And Paul is saying that these are empty words because the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We were saved out of this. We cannot walk in this way anymore. He says in verse 7, do not become partners with them. Speaking of the false teachers, a very important word, partners with them. The Greek literally means do not participate with them. How we walk matters. Yes, we have been saved by grace. Praise God. That we've been saved to walk in good works. The Holy Spirit is at work within you right now, sanctifying you, making you more and more like Jesus as you walk in step with him, as you cooperate with him, as you surrender all you have to him, and as you repent daily of your sins. We are not to go walking in darkness. We have been saved out of darkness into the light of God. And that's the point of point B of point one. We have been saved to walk in the light of God's will. Looking now at verses 8 through 14. And Paul says in verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Now, note, he doesn't say you were in darkness. He says you were darkness. You were spiritually dead to God and just unable to do anything to save yourself. But now you are light in the Lord. You're not just in the light, you are light in the Lord. And we are only light because we are in the Lord. Jesus said, abide in me as we abide in Jesus. We are light in the Lord. And when you go camping, isn't it great to see a beautiful starlit sky away from the city lights, to see the beautiful stars, the bright shining moon? I love a night sky far away from any city lights. And you look up at the moon, it's so bright and beautiful. The moon is just shining with the light of the sun. As followers of Jesus, we are called to reflect the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we do this as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit rather than grieving him by walking in sin. When we seek to mortify the flesh, to walk in step with the Spirit, to walk in the fruit of the light, Paul says here, we shine. And people will see God's power at work within us. And we become a very, very powerful witness to Jesus and the power of God at work within us. And Paul says there in verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And it says then, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that is visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Our very nature, our very identity has changed. We are light in the Lord, and we are to walk in that light. Jesus said in John 3, verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Note that the light of the world, Jesus, exposes sin. And Paul says in verse 11 that we, as children of light, are to walk in light. And when we do so, we expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, this can take place in two ways. Firstly, as we seek to follow Jesus, to glorify him at home, at work, at school, at college, people should see a difference. They should see us not joining in things like foolish talk, filthiness, improper behavior, but seeking to glorify Jesus by walking in the light. And when we do that long enough, our colleagues start to feel exposed by the light. They start to feel the difference of a Christian who doesn't join them in deeds of sin. You see, we always face the temptation to be man pleasers, to join the crowd, to not stand out from the crowd. But when we resist and rather seek to please God by not joining in the works of darkness, but rather exposing them by abstaining, we become, again, a very powerful witness. Also, there are times when we are called to expose the works of darkness. I can think of a Christian friend at Budrum who was going to the local library, and there were men in there nearby the children on library computers looking at pornography. He wouldn't expose us. He told the librarians, and they said that they couldn't do anything about it. So he went to the media, and we ran a huge story on this, and the library changed their policy and put filters on all the computers. He exposed the deeds of darkness as a concerned Christian. We are called to walk in a way that glorifies God and to not join in acts of darkness, but rather expose them, And then in verse 14, Paul then quotes what is likely an early English hymn. He says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Almost certainly taken from Isaiah 66, verse 1, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." You see, we were dead in sin. We were sleeping dead in sin, and Christ shone on us and raised us up, again reminding us that we can only walk in the light because Jesus Christ has saved us. Our Heavenly Father has breathed new life into our hearts, enabling us to hear and receive and respond to the gospel with great joy. And now we are called to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to walk as children of God, back in verse 1, and as children of light. And when we do so, the world will see the joy in us and the power of God at work within us. And point two is this. As children of light, we are called also to walk in wisdom, to walk in thankfulness. Looking now at verses 15 through 21. Walk in wisdom, walk in thankfulness. And our first subpoint is this. As children of light, we are called to make the most of our time. Look firstly at verses 15 and 16. Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil." Very important. We are called to make the most of our time. Look carefully then how you walk. Again, it's that wonderful Greek verb to walk around, to use our will as we live, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to walk not as unwise, but as wise. See, when we walk according to just our heart or our mind, according to just no guide outside of ourselves, we are walking as unwise. Before people come to faith in Jesus, they are unwise because they do not have the Word of God working within them. They do not have the Spirit of God working within them. But as folk who have been saved through faith in Jesus, we have the indwelling Spirit and who enables us to understand, to love, to feed upon God's holy word. as we read God's word, as we learn more and more about our Heavenly Father, more and more about our Lord Jesus Christ, we are further enabled to walk in wisdom rather than walking in folly. Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 3, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7, 24. To walk in wisdom rather than folly is to obey Jesus, to hear his words and do them. This is how we walk in wisdom. And then we are called to make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Wise people make the most of each day that they are given, knowing that every day is a gift from God, and we are called to love and serve him in every day, even the days that aren't so enjoyable. We glorify God when we walk in thankfulness, when we look to him in all of our days, knowing that our time here is short, our time here is limited, and the days are evil. It's an important reminder. This world is under the curse of sin and death. The prince of the power of the air is at work in the sons of disobedience. We are involved in spiritual warfare and the days are evil. In Galatians 1 verse 4, Paul said, Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Evil is rampant in the world today. If you watch the news, there's not much good on there, is there? There's always countries fighting, pandemics, folly in government, folly among the people, riots in Melbourne. There's always evil to be found. When I worked in the media, I was on the night desk. I had to gather all of the news around the world and around the country. I never, ever, ever ran out of terribly bad news. We live in an evil age, and we are called to use our time wisely, walking according to God's will. It's very, very important. God's will for us is revealed in his holy word. He shows us how to live both to glorify him, to uplift our brethren, and for the good of our souls. God's will, God's law is never restrictive. He's showing us how he made us to live, how he enables us to walk in joy as we walk before him in worship and thanksgiving. We have to use our time fruitfully. Now, occasionally in life, we have to make decisions that we can't see an answer just clearly in God's word, like where to go to school, which job to take. Well, again, we can walk in wisdom as we think about these things prayerfully and as we speak to mature Christian brethren seeking wise and godly counsel. And ultimately, God's will for this world has been made very clear to us. His will is to bring all things to their proper end in and through Jesus Christ. He is planning to unite all things in Christ, chapter 1, verse 10. This is the end towards which history is moving. We don't need to worry about China or the pandemic or the riots in Melbourne. We can trust God. He is completely sovereign, completely in control. And we should pray daily, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to live in accordance with this knowledge. And point 2b is this, to walk as children of light, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Looking now at verses 18 through 21. Firstly, in verse 18, we read, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now note, to get drunk with wine is to be given over to the influence of alcohol. It is to lose control in a spirit of debauchery. But being filled with the Spirit is to gain control. He quickens our self-control. He enables us to walk in wisdom. It is the polar opposite of walking in foolish drunkenness. And in the ages and in the time and place of Ephesus, there was all kinds of idol worship taking place in these huge temples like the Temple of Artemis, involving great drunken orgies. And Paul is saying, don't be like them. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in every time, in every age, there is always a temptation for people to lose control to things like drunkenness. We read way back in Isaiah. Isaiah says in Isaiah 5, verse 22, "Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drinks." It's always been the way, but we are not to lose control to folly like that. We are rather to be given greater control by surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek verb here says literally, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. It is a passive verse, a passive verb. It literally means surrender yourself continually to the control of the Holy Spirit. We read back in 1 verse 13, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now Paul is saying, be surrendered completely to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill you continually. And we do that by surrendering more of ourselves to him, by holding back no secret sin, no corner of our lives, by not compartmentalizing our lives, but by giving all we have and all we are to the control of the Holy Spirit. The early church father, Thomas Aquinas, said, we are to avail ourselves to the Spirit in all we do. We don't need more of the Spirit. We need to give the Spirit more of us. And rather than grieving the Holy Spirit, we are called to surrender daily all of our hearts and all of our lives to the Lordship of Christ and to the filling and control of the Holy Spirit. As we surrender ourselves to his control, we will increasingly be filled with the Spirit. And note the fruit of that. Paul says, as we are filled with the Spirit, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A person, a Christian who is Spirit-filled, who is surrendering themselves to the Spirit, is filled with joy, and we are called to address each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Note that singing is a key part of our worship, and it has a horizontal and a vertical dimension. We address each other as we sing songs of praise to God, and we sing and make melody to the Lord with our hearts. We praise God, we worship him, and we edify each other when we gather together to sing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. And we do this giving thanks and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important here that when Paul says give thanks for everything, he's implying everything that God gives us. Now, sometimes Christians have misapplied this verse and tried to thank God for sin. You know, a man thanks God when his wife commits adultery, or a woman thanks God when her husband becomes a drunk. That's not what is meant here. It is giving thanks to God for everything he gives us. We never try to thank God for sin. Sin is always an abomination to God. We thank God for the amazing grace he pours out upon us moment by moment and all the good things he gives us. And finally, Paul says that the Spirit-filled Christian submits to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, you'll note in the next section, right through to the first part of chapter 6, Paul explains what it looks like to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in every relationship in our lives. So why isn't verse 21 part of the next section in your Bibles? Well, it's because it's not actually a command. It is a participle. Verse 21 is an application of the command to be filled with the Spirit. He's saying, as you are filled with the Spirit, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We can only do that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The human nature is selfish. We want our own glory. But as we are Spirit-filled, as we surrender more and more of who we are and our hearts to the Holy Spirit and to our Lord Jesus Christ, we are empowered and enabled and commanded to walk in thankfulness, to sing songs of praise, and to submit to one another out of reverence, out of fear for Christ our Lord. It's a wonderful portrait of what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have been saved. We've read so much in these wonderful chapters about all that God has done for us through Christ, all he is doing for us. And we are now called to walk in light with whose we are. Our do is to match our who. We are called to act in a way that honors God, to speak in a way that glorifies God, to think in a way that doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather is in step with the Holy Spirit. And as we repent of each time we stumble, as we recommit daily all we are and all we have to the Lord and keep walking in step with the Spirit, we will walk in greater joy and we will be a very powerful witness to the amazing grace and power of God at work within us. Let's now bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, rich and very dense section, Father. There's so much amazing truth in here. But Lord, help us to understand that this amazing high calling is possible because your power is at work within us. Father, your Spirit is indwelling us and you have enabled and commanded and empowered us to walk as children of light, to walk in love, and Lord God, to walk in wisdom. Father, help us to understand that this is the way that glorifies you. This is the way that brings us joy. And this is the way that blesses our brethren. And Lord, as we do so increasingly day by day in your power at work within us, Father, we pray that we would grow in Christ's likeness. And Lord God, we pray that we would be an effective, loving church here in Belconnen, that our neighbors, our family, our friends would see us and say, I want what they have, as they see the light of the world shining in us as children of light. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.